WV Uncommon Place. This podcast is a variety podcast that houses numerous series to cover mental health, empowerment, podcast framework, and various intimate theories to get to know the hosts. Along with occasional movies reviews and dives in pop culture with our event podcast episode. The Uncommon Place digs into bringing guests on that stories don't fit the mold and are very different. WV stands for the Great State of West Virginia, and every quarter we cover something in West Virginia. Stacey and myself, JR, are your hosts, so please come along for this venture to our Uncommon Place.
The Richter Scale. Oh, well, welcome back, dear listeners, to another episode of West Virginia Commonplace, the podcast that uncovers remarkable stories and explores the extraordinary stories. I'm your host, JR, and today we delve into the captivating story of the rise and fall of Working Design, a video game company that left an indelible mark on the industry and on my life. Here's the thing. Let me just put it out here for you. Working Design introduced me to Japanese RPGs. If you're wondering what an RPG is real simple. It's a role-playing game. In the veins of something like Final Fantasy, that's what most people would get into, and they would know Final Fantasy when I say that, or you would even go deeper and just know Zelda. Zelda was the first RPG I played in my life. As a young man, I'm talking about the very first one, not the second one, but the first one I played, I got on a Zelda, and Zelda moved me. It made me feel like I was really doing something because I was walking across the land, going to fight in these dungeons and doing things that were amazing. Well, Working Design, for me personally, came into my life in the mid-90s with the arrival of the Sega Saturn. My mother went out there to the store, and you know, I always downplay stuff, but I'm going to say this. My mom worked very hard. She went to this store. She didn't go to Walmart. She didn't go to this one. She went to Rose's. She went to Rose's and got me the whole little combination deal, the two controllers, the racing wheel. And over some time, she bought me my first Working Design game, which was Albert Odyssey. I did not have any of the Lunar games or anything like that, but she literally said, hey, I know you like RPGs. She didn't know that it was role-playing. She just always heard me say RPG, RPG. And she was like, here's your game, Albert Odyssey. I didn't even know what the hell it was. She went out of her way, or either she just went in the store and said, hey, let me get some kind of role-playing game. And whoever was working behind the counter handed it to her. But either way, she sold it to me in a nice way, so I fell in love with Albert Odyssey. Now, let's go into the history of Working Design. And I did say Working Design. They were founded in 1986. It was a small but passionate team of game developers and localizers based in Redding, California. From their humble beginnings, they set out to bring unique Japanese role-playing games to the Western audience. And yes, we are the Western audience. When you come into the United States, we are the Western portion, and that's what everyone else perceives us as, that type of audience. So I just wanted to lay that out there for you. Their commitment to quality and dedication to preserving the integrity of the original content made them a beloved and influential company in gaming, because they took a Japanese translation, which if you watch anime or you watch anything that gets translated, I've had some issues with some things being translated very quickly, but they translated these games to where it was the original content, but it made sense in the English language, which to me, that's an amazing thing. And it's a crazy feat for the simple fact. Think how long that would take. Japanese doesn't translate 100% into English. So that's a lot of time. That's a lot of energy on something that may be a bust, may not fit into the United States culture. So going forward, as Working Design released their first title, such as the Lunar series and later on with Albert Odyssey, gamers were captivated by the studio's attention to detail, amazing packaging. I was going to slip up and use a word that I normally don't use. I was going to use exquisite, but that's not one of my words. The way that you got these games, because I got Lunar Silver Story Complete on PlayStation. It was a double disc game. You could pop it open left to right. It was the first double disc CD case I ever owned. So, and then the things that were inside this, you would get freaking instruction books with artwork in it. It looked like some guy had just sat there and made an anime inside of my manual. You would get maps of the places you were going. You got so many things that I didn't get when I bought a copy of Zelda 64 or something like that at this time. All I got was Zelda 64 was a strategy guide that my mama had to spend another $20 on. But this stuff with Working Design was all free. So the further and further I got into it, I fell in love with their stuff. And I would buy their games, Dragon Force, whatever it was. I would make sure I took a point on my Sega Saturn, at least, and into the life of my PlayStation, I would buy their games. Now, you know, the problem with these type of companies is when you're localizing niche titles, it costs money. It's not like they were a big developer like Nintendo, Namco, Bandai, or even Electronic Arts. Because Electronic Arts sits on a bunch of different things like The Sims and different things. And they can take time and develop that stuff because there's no localization to it. Because when they put that type of game out, it's made for every single person, doesn't matter where you are in the world. But this coming from another country took time. So despite their initial success, you know, Work and Design faced numerous challenges as the industry evolved. They made two-dimensional games. So the rise of 3D games and the shift towards mainstream game experiences put pressure on them. And, you know, the cost of their type of game development and the competitive nature that was going on in this market after the 32-bit era, like as the PlayStation was winding down and we were getting closer to PlayStation 2 and Xbox and the Sega Dreamcast, Work and Design was losing money because they could not keep up with other companies, with the example of like XSEED. I can go into other detail. Even Namco was getting into the fray of things when they partnered up with Bandai and they started taking anime stuff and localizing it, bringing the Sailor Moons, the Naruto's, all that other stuff, you know, that was getting real big in the early 2000s. They were able to localize it at a faster pace. So either way, they kept going on and they kept doing stuff. They covered Ark the Lad. They made a game called Alandra. Alandra was considered the spiritual successor to Zelda on PlayStation, which if you get a chance, definitely buy that game because that's one of the things there. So either way, they kept going on, but the financial difficulties and the issues with the landscape of gaming eventually sadly closed Work and Design. In 2005, actually. You'll hear that it happened in 2006, but no, 2005 was the last iteration of Work and Design. So anything that was on a digital front or anything that you wanted outside of that, that was localized by them, because that's the crazy thing. Even though Work and Design localized games, they didn't actually own the games they were localizing. They were made by another developer. So that's one thing that I do want to tie in here. There was never anything truly original from Work and Design. They just picked something and said, hey, we'll localize it, we'll make it good, blah, blah, blah. So they paid a license fee and got it out there. So that's one thing I want to clarify there so that we don't get crazy upset about things, because I don't want anybody saying that I'm misleading them. So in tying this up, I'm honoring the memory of Work and Design because their unwavering passion, their commitment to quality, their profound influence on gaming is this. Every kid nowadays plays a Dragon Ball Z game. Every kid plays a Naruto. I can go further, My Hero Academia, or the biggest thing right now, Demon Slayer. If it wasn't for the localization efforts of Work and Design, the Japanese influence wouldn't be as strong as it is in our animation culture today, or in our video games today, the Metal Gear Solids of today, the way that we play Star Ocean and all these other RPGs would not sit well with us because we wouldn't understand it. Because like I said three times already in this episode, Japanese transferal of localization doesn't always translate to what we say in the US. So this brings us to the end of West Virginia and Commonplace. I want to thank you for joining me on this journey for the rise and fall of Working Design. And remember to tune in next time as we continue to uncover fascinating stories that made our world an extraordinary place at that time and still make our world an extraordinary place. And so until then, stay curious, keep exploring, and never stop seeking the uncommon.
Please follow WV Uncommonplace on Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, TikTok, where we have some great content, Facebook, LinkedIn, hit up the merch store at onecommonplace.square.site, join the email list from the website, and rate, subscribe, and give feedback from your favorite podcatcher. And lastly, thanks for listening and tune into the next episode.